It really blessed me, really, when we started to speak about this angel that was released on the river Euphrates. Because then you went to the Book of Daniel, and when we read the Book of Daniel, it happens in where this river is flowing, and there was a fourth kingdom that was rising up there. There was a four type of kingdoms that was released in this time. It was a Babylon, it was a Media and Persia and Greece. This kingdom was released to hold God's people in captivity. And I think this is what we see when we see what kind of the angel that is going to be released. And when we look at our time, there is something that is speaking to me about that, the forces of all this kingdom is coming as a one. We can call it the global government or new world order or what we want to name it, but it seems to be that there is a many forces going on Earth today, and this four angels they were released about this river, and the Book of Daniel is really telling us about this fourth kingdom that was taking over that place. The river Euphrates, it was the only river that was running in this land that we called Babylon. So there is something that really create a hunger in me to really go and read more about it. And because this was open up the way for the king from the east. And just to look it and ask the Lord for really guiding and a revelation of what he's showing us in this time, because he said to Daniel that he should keep his word and take his place at this end time. So we can see that everything in this kingdom that was in Daniel, you can find them today in a different level in a political power. So it was really a word that quickened me and really gave me a hunger to go and search out this fourth kingdom according to this fourth angel that is going to be released. So thank you, brother.
Yes, in Daniel, there was this little horn that came up. And even in the natural prophecy, there was a man who qualified as this little horn. But he is also a picture of the end time spirit of Antichrist that is coming up. And you can just take the prophecies of this fourth kingdom out of Daniel and just take it and lay it on top of today's history, and you're going to find the same things happening.
Yes.
Even though it's been fulfilled, it's still a prophetic word.
Yes. Yeah. That's good.
I wanted to add one little thing to when Daniel earlier was talking about the wedding feast where Jesus turned the water into wine. I think it's an important point because it disproves what a lot of Christians today think. And that is, it was Jesus's first miracle he ever did. And remember, he said it wasn't his time, but Daniel said he went ahead and did it anyway. And he made one really important statement. He said, "You fill the pots with water, I'll turn it into wine." So one of the common things that the Christendom today believes is there's nothing you can do. Jesus has done it all. There's nothing you have to do. Jesus has done it all. Well, yes and no. Jesus has done everything necessary for you to become who you need to become. Remember one time he said, "It is finished." But here's the thing, he has a part to do in it, and we have a part to do in it. And we can always trust and rely on that Jesus will do his part, and he does do his part. He has done his part. And so here's our part. He said, "You fill the pot with water." And in the natural, water is life. So in the spiritual, water is the word of God. So when Jesus said, "You fill the pot with water, I'll turn it into wine," you're the pot, and wine is the spirit. So you have a part to do. And what a lot of Christians think and say is, there's nothing you have to do. Jesus has done it all. Well, that's true and it's not true. We do have a part to do. And so if you think that there's nothing you have to do, not only are you thinking wrong, but it's dangerous. And here's what's even more dangerous. Not only do they say there's nothing you have to do, they say there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. And when you start talking to people about God, and all of a sudden they realize there's something they have to do, they come against you, just like Mark was explaining about these other preachers. And the reason they do that is because, whether consciously or unconsciously, they're justifying their position. They want to be okay with where they are, just thinking that Jesus did it all for them. Well, he didn't do it all for them. The term born again is very accurate. When you're born, is that the end of, have you become an adult then? No, being born again is you're born into the spirit. That's where it begins. That's where it starts. And we have a part to do. You fill your pot with water. You fill yourself with the word of God. And you will grow and grow and grow, and you will become just like Jesus, which is what the goal for us is to do. So I just wanted to add that little part, brethren. God bless you.
May I add a little thing to what has just been said?
Yes, please.
The Old Testament lays out the principles of God that we operate or we are led by in the New. So Israel had this battle to fight with three nations. And God said, "This battle is mine, not yours. It's God's battle," which means that God is the one that is going to do everything. But he said, "You go out there, stand there, and sing praises to God." So you see that the Lord was handling the entire thing, and he handled the entire battle. But there was something that they had to do. Now, in the New Testament, he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We are not the ones to save ourselves. We are not going to, save ourselves. But we must do this fear and trembling before God. We have something to do. So to say that there is nothing we can do is a deceit. It is supposed to cause the people of God to lie docile and begin to flow in unrighteousness and allow the flesh and the devil to overwhelm and overtake them. We thank God for this word that has come. It is a strength. Praise God.
Yeah, I just wanted to read a couple of scriptures. In Romans chapter 9, it says, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are called Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, with that in mind, the seed of Abraham, Paul goes on to talk about in Galatians,
mm-hmm.
chapter 3.
Yes.
Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be not a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or adds thereof. Okay, this is the verse I want. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds, but as of many, but as the one that is your seed, which is Christ. So clearly, Paul is talking about there in Romans 9, the seed of Abraham coming to Isaac, but it is the one seed, not many seeds, but the one seed which is Christ. And these are those that are called Israel, true Israel, okay? Not national Israel. One more person I want to remind you of, Mark. The name is Art Katz. You remember Art. And, you know, he came against us at our meeting because he said, you people, you know, are not acknowledging, you're singing the songs of the Hebrew songs, you know, God, you know, the songs of the Jews, which you shouldn't be singing. And he was chastising us for basically teaching replacement theology, which is out there today, that the church is replacing Israel, natural Israel. It's not replacement theology, it is fulfillment theology. The people that are chosen of God, God's true Israel, are those who have accepted Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and what he is now doing in our lives and what he will bring to fulfillment. The Jews, you know, I speak to Muslims all the time because I have to go into the stores. And, you know, they are so critical of the Jews, of Israel. And they will say of a fact, you know, we have believed in Jesus Christ. Not like we believe, of course, but at least they acknowledge who he is, you know, as a great prophet and teacher. Well, the Jews don't even do that. And, you know, so they, in a sense, are correct that the Jews, for the most part, are still against Christ. And so how can you say that Israel is, you know, the chosen? I mean, yes, God chose them. He made the covenant with them. He will not break the covenant. But right now, they have, you know, they're not in a place where they can be called the elect of God. But the church is. Amen.
Israel actually means the overcomers.
Yes.
You know, he was given that name because he had wrestled and had prevailed. So Israel means he that has prevailed. And so it's not given to anyone that has not prevailed. So scripture says that even Sarah and her children, referring to the Israel that is on the earth, it's like Hagar, but it's talking about the Israel that is on high. So that is the overcomers, which are the same as the elect. That is the Israel that the scripture began to speak about. Indeed, that's all that the scripture has been talking about symbolically. But the fulfillment of it now is this Israel we are talking about. It's like when the scripture spoke about the prince of Tyrus, who exalted himself and said, I am God. That was a real human being physically. And he did say that. And the prophecy was coming against him. But at the same time, it was talking about Satan, which is the real fulfillment of that prophecy that came in that particular scripture. So that's how it is that even the victory that physical Israel wins is just a symbol of the victory that the overcomer church is to win. Praise God.
God gave us the textbook definition of Israel. It's as a prince, you shall have power with God and man.
Yes.
Yes, and I don't know, what was it Seth that said to Art at that time, well, is he coming for two brides? No, just one. And the church doctrine, the end time doctrine of the church has just got a lot of focus on natural Israel. You know, I'm actually almost baffled that God has not allowed natural Israel to be destroyed. And time after time, I've lived since 1948, of course. I was only 7 years old then, but I've read the history. And time after time now, the enemies have tried to destroy that little piece of natural Israel. Well, God isn't going to allow it to be destroyed. On the other hand, we are the church. And from what Paul has said in Romans and what, we are the true Israel. But he's not letting go of that other little part either. He's just a God that is almost beyond. We can't figure him all out. He made a covenant, and he's keeping it.
You know, Mark, I've thought about that a lot, too. And a couple of things I thought was, you know, the Jews, God chose the Jews to reveal his whole plan through. There were people that were killed and they went through terrible things. And, you know, so it was like they were the best thing he had. And what kind of came to my mind was, if you're a track coach and some kid runs, you know, he's probably doing the best he can, you know, and you don't really say too much to him. But somebody who's really good, you tell him, you got to start a little lower in the blocks and come out. And, you know, it's like, even though he's good, you're getting on him and getting on him and getting on him because you know he can be so good. It's like pruning a tree. You know, God prunes it because it produces more fruit. So it's like, those are the thoughts that came to me when I thought about why is he still preserving the Jews, you know? Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yes. if God doesn't preserve them, it will become a snare to some believers who don't have the depth of understanding that God has given us the privilege and grace to have, because it would be as if God has failed on his word. So the Lord has to preserve them. Moreover, I believe that a time will come when many of them will come to realize the truth and now believe in this truth, which is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There is a hope. And there is a hope to be in Christ for all those who are heathen. They have to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, and become a vessel of the Spirit of God, to be a part of body of Christ, to be in Christ. It is the price. But this is the same price also for Jewish people. There is just one price to be in Christ. It's to be saved by his blood and born again from the Spirit of God. So the hope for the Jewish people today is not to stay Jewish. It's to come to him and accept him as a savior through his blood, for this work that he did on the cross, to recognize him as a Messiah, and to ask for the Spirit of God to come into their life so they can be grounded in the body of Christ today, just as everyone that do come that way. That is the way. He is that way. So there is a hope. And in my mind, it's to pray that they will find this way, just as everyone else. I can look at the situation that is in Israel today. People ask me, do you support this? And I said, what do you mean by this? What you are looking at, it's not Christianity. But what you are looking at, it's not Jewish either. It's a political power. It's a political power of people. And if you follow the flow of the money and what is coming over many countries today, it's a capitalist communist. That is the new political power that is in my country, in your country, in every country coming up now. And we know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. But that is the power that is ruling. This two horn of this, that kind of beast, is what we are facing. And even though we look at Jewish people as a history, they have a chance. Everyone have a chance to repent and get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, to accept him and the work that he did on the cross, and bow down before him and ask God to be a vessel for his Spirit to be in, because God only gave his Spirit into our life to allow Christ to come forth within us. It is the only hope, but if we take it, if we reach it, it's everlasting. Amen.
Yes, that confirms the word in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Ephesians says, Christ came to bring the Gentiles and the Jews to God. So in him is found one new man. So
amen.
There's neither the Jew, there's neither the Israelites or the Gentiles. No more. There's no more division. So Christ came to abolish what the Jews enjoyed as their personal property. God was not just coming for the Jews. He came for every man, wherever we may be, to make in Christ Jesus one new man. So the same thing that God demands of us in the area is the same thing God demands from every other person in the whole world, including Israel. So the Israelis have no status in God, or they don't have an advantage over me in Nigeria by birth, natural birth. So we must all live in righteousness and follow the scriptures that God has given. So there's no such division in God anymore. Praise God.
Amen. Daniel, you use a very interesting term. Communist capitalism.
Yeah, I believe that is the two-horned beast. I have heard so many, many explanations of this. But the political, they always will speak to us as a lamb. But the capitalist always speaking to us as a dragon. So it is a two-horn. It's a two-power that comes together. It's a communist capitalist. And we know that in every country today, I can go around Europe. In every country in Europe, they say, if you are on the market, if you cannot make something like, for example, China, you are out of the market. You have to accept what they are doing. So to accept this, we need to let all our industry be like it is in China, under that faces. What you are looking at in that place is that it's communist, but it's also capitalist. Capitalist didn't come from China. It come from our country, because they wanted to have it cheaper, to have more money. And the love of money is evil. And so they found a way that they will do it. But they don't know how it works. Government invite a capitalist to come and to grow. And when they grow and grow and grow, they found, yeah, okay, now we can put the taxes on them. And if capitalist people would know that this government, they are really allowing them to do it, to take their money in the end, they will not come. But that is what we are facing today. It's a capitalist, communist place.
Amen. Well, the man that wants to be mayor of New York City, and I believe the Democrats have him on now, I believe he's a Muslim, and he also seems to say that he's a communist. Comes right out and says it. He's going to get rid of all the police department. He's going to do this. He's going to, you know, and a majority of people there in New York City are, it seems like they're ready to vote for him.
Yes.
Oh, the level of deception that has come upon humanity. God help us. The word deception is straight from hell. The devil himself. This is the only way that he has power. He has no actual natural power. Only what he can get by deceiving.
Yes. But it's also a really remarkable, beautiful time. And it's really a beautiful time, because we know what time it is. We know our hope. We know our future. We know the future that we have in Christ. We have access to everything in him. And I think it's Peter that says that we have become a partaker of his suffering.
Yes.
And because of that, we are going to be a partaker of his glory. Because we are going to have access to everything of it. And this is not a time of man. This is not a time of political power. It's not a time for capitalist people. It's simply the time of God. And this time of God is going to come. And this time God is going to show the people who he really is. He's going to make a change. And people are going to see it, because that change that God is going to show people, he have already started it within you. He has started to change you from glory to glory. He's creating a body that is going to be standing strong, like an overcomer, and there is nothing that is going to come against it, even not the gate of hell is going to have power over it. And we are this people. And what a privilege to be that people, and to hope that this is the right time. So I'm not afraid of what is coming all over. I am excited. I am so excited. Lord, what are you going to do? When Israel was going out in battle, brethren, they went out rejoicing to be a partaker of the victory of God. God said to David before he went out, I have given it unto your hand. So he had made his decision. They are going to fall before you. And he had made that before David went out. So when David went out, he was just rejoicing. Yay! He was rejoicing over the victory of God that was going to come forth. He was partaker of God's victory because God made it before him. And that is how the anointing is going to be with us in this hour. The anointing is going to go before us, beside us, above us, and within us. So stay strong in this time.
Amen. And what Daniel is talking about is this 70th week of Daniel. In the midst of the week, Jesus was cut off. And the last half of that week, which is 3.5 years, which is also tribulation, the last half of the week is ours. And what Daniel just said is that covenant of a people that will be as Christ, that will be fulfilled in the last half of the week. He took the first half, and the clock has stopped now, waiting for the clock to start again. And then the last half of the week, 3.5 years. That's what we're talking about.
Man.
Well, let me turn the recording off and,